welcome to Woods and Water, South Carolina. This is Roger Metz, and it seems like forever since I've been in this studio. First, we had the live remote from the weigh-in at Bon Secours during the Classic. Speaking of the Classic, did anyone watch the coverage on ESPN2 this morning? And the highlighted days 1 and 2, and it'll show day 3, the final day, tomorrow morning at 10:30. I still felt the cold of day 1, even though I was watching from my own couch wrapped up in a couple of blankets. I think that kind of cold is going to be one of those memories that will live forever. Kind of like the smell of city silly putty from kindergarten. And I had some more stuff written out here, but you know, we've got a studio full of people, and this is going to be a great show. We've got Dan Dupree.
Hey, Roger.
You are the director of Camp Wildwood.
Well, I guess technically I'm the coordinator.
Coordinator.
That's exactly
okay.
Right.
And then we have Rebecca Harris. She is the head girls counselor at Camp One, year one of Camp Wildwood at Kings Mountain. I get all
that's
that right?
Yes. Okay. Rebecca Harkins. Yep.
And then we've got Cody Bishop, who is a counselor at third year Camp Wildwood. And will sometimes show up at Kings Mountain, too.
Yeah, I'm at Kings Mountain and third year.
And third year, so we got a dual role guy over here. So we are going to be talking about Camp Wildwood. It is all the fun. Camp Wildwood is hands-on. You will get dirty when you go to Camp Wildwood, which is one of the great things about being a kid in the summertime. They all made the trip to Greenville from Orangeburg, Columbia, and, of course, right here on Woodruff Road. So I'm going to get right to the calendar of events because we got a lot of stuff to cover with them, and I want them to have as much time as they can. So hang on. Let's go through the calendar, and we're going to talk a lot about Camp Wildwood today. Starting off, and I have to get this before the calendar, I have to say congratulations to the Upstate Hurricanes archery team. They had their regionals in Anderson this week. The high school team took first place. The middle school team took second place. Alex Burdett took second place high school male, and the girls swept the podium. Christiana took first place. Becky Payne took second place. Abby Zimmerman took third. Congratulations to that team. Colleen and my mind just went blank, and her husband, and those, they have done just a wonderful job with those kids, the whole program. They're headed to States in Sumter. Going to try to be there. I wasn't able to be in Anderson, but I'm going to try to be in Sumter with you to take some more pictures, and we'll have you on the air to talk about that program again because it is such a great thing for kids to get involved in. Now to the calendar of events. 2015 Palmetto Trail Challenge. It's a pretty good little intro here. Grab a partner and name your team. It's time for the 7th annual Palmetto Trail Challenge. It's a 7-week walking, biking contest designed to get people active and healthy. Partners team up and log as many miles as they can during the 7-week period. Rules are pretty simple. Team, of course, is 2 people. Pets don't count. Team mileage must be turned in every Monday by 10 o'clock for the previous week. Miles can come from walking, biking, and on outdoor stationary equipment or outdoors. Miles submitted for challenge must take place between March 2nd and April 17th, so we're already a little bit into this. And it also says check with your doctor before starting an exercise program. You can get more information from the palmettoconservation.org website. Antler measuring session set across South Carolina. Last season or in prior seasons, if you killed a deer you think is big enough to make the South Carolina State record book, then they're having all sorts of measuring seminar, measuring events. A couple of them have already passed. The next one will be Monday, March the 9th, here at Cabela's in Greenville from 2 to 8 p.m., Tuesday, March 10th at the Academy Sports in Spartanburg from 2 to 8 p.m. Thursday, March 12th, 2 to 8 p.m. in Greenwood at Hunter's Headquarters. March the 13th from 1 to 5 at Price's Country Store in Gilbert. The 18th of March from 9:30 a.m. to 4. They're going to do it at the Dennis Wildlife Center in Bonham, South Carolina. Friday, March 27th at the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic State Fairgrounds. That's noon to 8 p.m. on Friday. Saturday from 9 to 6. And Sunday from 1:30 to 6, they're going to do one at Clemson by appointment only during March. Columbia by appointment only any time of the year. Florence by appointment only during March. Garnet at the Webb Wildlife Center during March. And Union at the DNR office. If you want more information on where to get your antler scored, go to the DNR website. They've got lots of information there for you. This is one near and dear to my heart. Chester County Historical Society is going to have Chesterville 1865. It's going to take place March the 13th through the 15th. And it starts out in 1865, Chesterville was the southernmost point in the Confederacy that could be reached by train. It was the hub of activity and the very last place the Confederate gold was ever seen. No, I never have seen it either. The Treasury train cars from Richmond ended their journey right here in Chester. And they're going to have a little weekend where they're going to have open house, lectures, the middle school auditorium. They're going to Saturday, March 14th, they're going to have an encampment by the 6th South Carolina Regiment with drills and firing demonstrations. 11:30 a.m. at the top of the hill in Chester, they're going to have a Yankee prisoner of war and their well-documented stay in the 1842 jail, which is going to be pretty good. 9 a.m. to 4 p.m., the Brainerd Institute from slavery to emancipation through song. Sunday, they're going to have a period sermon at Calvary Baptist Church with the choir singing period hymns known to the slaves. Going to be a really good weekend. I'm going to educate you just a little bit here on what's called the Chester Gun. Bear with me just for a few minutes. In January of 1986, the elders of Calvary Baptist Church signed a contract with a local construction company for an addition to the existing building. When they started digging the footers for the new construction, they unearthed something unusual. Construction was halted, and they had found four very old cannon batteries buried side by side and only a few feet away from the existing structure. Word soon got out, and the guns were buried for a time in the yard of William's home when they remained until tanks could be constructed by the state to treat the guns in a special chemical solution to remove the rust and stabilize the metal. It goes on to talk about the process of restoring them and all. The really cool thing about this is those four guns were buried there before the Civil War ended to keep them from being captured by Sherman. They're restored. Two of them are there in Chester. One of them's at the top of the hill. You can go see it. The other one is in front of the... can't find my place here. Anyway, two of them are there in Chester. One of them, the third one, which is known as Chester Gun, was reboarded and sleeved to make it safe to fire, and it actually participates in all these reenactments. It's been to Fort Sumter. It's been to the Battle of Shiloh. It's been to Gettysburg, Pennsylvania. We saw it at Brattonsville, at the historic reenactment there at Brattonsville. The cool thing about the Chester Gun is it can only be a Confederate cannon. A lot of the other reproduction cannons can be used on either side depending on how many reenactors show up. You want to have an equal number of cannons. But the Chester Gun can only be a Confederate cannon in any reenactment. So really cool. A little bit of history from my hometown. Hope you get over there and enjoy it. And if you do go, now you dads out there and hunters are thinking, what am I going to do after this is all over? Well, you can ride right up the road to Nichols Store. They are having an outdoor expo on the 14th. All day long, 9 to 4, and the list of who they're going to have is just, it's out the door. I mean, there's going to be cooking demonstrations by Traeger and the Big Green Egg, a kids' duck prize game. They are one of our partners in the taking donations for the Department of Natural Resources Take One, Make One program, collecting gently used hunting gear for that program. They put out a little thing saying who all was going to be there. I know they're going to have some guys from Mossy Oak there. Primo's, Browning, the Drake, Ducks Unlimited, lots of food. That'll be something if you want to go to Chester and do the historical side, then you can go right up the road and do something on the outdoor side. Last on the week is the Primitive Craft Survival Skills Seminar. L. Woodrow Ross is going to give a hands-on exposure to primitive survival skills and crafts, from how to learn how to flint knap, make primitive arrows, start a fire with flint and steel or a bow drill. It's going to be at the Saluda River Archery Club, March 21st. There is a fee. You need to call Woodrow, 864-238-1944, or Russell Cooper, 864-230-8744, for registration information. And as always, I will put all this on the Facebook page, time, date, location. Go check it out before you go, just to make sure there have been no last-minute changes. Hang with us through the break. Come back. We're going to be talking about Camp Wildwood. Enjoy it. See you on the other side. Woo! Welcome back to Woods and Water, South Carolina. So I lied. I've got one more thing I want to get on the calendar for this week. Sumter Chapter, Delta Waterfowls, having a bass fishing tournament. Saturday, March 21st, Pax Landing. It's a two-man team. $50 entry fee. Big fish, $10 per boat. Pre-register at William Sporting Goods, Broad Street in Sumter. On or before Wednesday, March 19th. Or for more details, check events at the Sumter Chapter Delta Waterfowl Facebook page. He sent me a message last night, in addition to the flyer, said they're having a 70% payout for the top three places, which is a pretty good tournament. So if you like to bass fish, you want to help Delta Waterfowl and their conservation efforts, get in touch with these guys and participate. And now we're on to Camp Wildwood. And I do. I appreciate all of you coming in. This is what I had envisioned when I talked to Dan about having some counselors in, because the whole purpose of the next 40 minutes or so is to get kids. Okay, first we got to get the parents, because they're the ones that are probably listening. Parents, you need to get your kids. You need to sit them down beside the radio and say, look, unplug, get rid of the iPad, the laptop. Let's listen to what kind of fun you can have summer camp right here in South Carolina.
I love it.
You love it?
It sounds like something we need on a t-shirt this year.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. You know what I love about this whole thing? Is every page you go through on the Camp Wildwood webpage is like gold. Because, and actually this is my t-shirt. I haven't, the t-shirt I hope to have at the Sportsman's Classic will have something like this. But it's got a cell phone and a big red circle and slash through it and says, no cell phones allowed at camp. Dan, last year when we talked about this, you said kids have a fit coming in.
Absolutely.
And at the end of the week, they don't even know how to do it anymore. They don't even care they've had so much fun all
That's
week.
That's exactly right. What's really strange about the whole cell phone issue is we actually, unfortunately, lose a few campers every year because they can't take their cell phone and they can't be, you know, communicate with their friends back at home. And it becomes a burden for what we are at Camp Wildwood, because we want the campers to learn about each other.
Right.
And that's a big, big focus that we have. And I get several letters every year from campers that, you know, I receive those after camp. And one thing that they usually thank me is that they say, thank you for not allowing this, because it allowed me to make some friends. And so we have had years, I think it was a couple of years ago, that our focus was looking up. And what that meant was, instead of looking down at your cell phone, at your computer, at Facebook, look up, look at each other, communicate, get to know each other. And that's a lost art form that we try to encapsulate over the course of that week that we have those campers.
And I love that, Rebecca. You enjoy not having to deal with it as a camp counselor. What about as a camper when you went there? Did you have a cell phone when you were in camp? It's been a few years ago.
She might have had a bad phone.
It's a long time ago.
Yeah.
But it is really neat to go around and visit the cabins to see how everybody's doing,
right,
usually as a counselor. And I have had to take a few cell phones that campers have had. And I say, I promise you, you're going to be so thankful that you don't have this phone, because you're going to learn so much. And it really, it makes a difference. They can tell that. For sure.
Cody?
With the guys, it's usually not as bad, but we do spot a few every once in a while, and they, at the end of the week, they do thank us for not having them.
It frees up their minds to just dive into whatever y'all have them doing.
Exactly.
And also, the year that we had the theme of looking up, it was also to encourage them to look up into nature and to look up into the trees, into the sky. And you could actually see at camp the stars at night so clearly. And that was a huge part of that theme.
I'm amazed, you know, of course, when I was growing up, there was no such thing as a cell phone. So mm-hmm. We played count cows. And you know, when you went from Chester to Columbia to see my grandparents, it was look outside, mm-hmm. You know. And even now, with all the housing and all that, riding down the road, there is so much out there for you to see.
Absolutely.
Rather than to be buried in that phone. And I can't imagine going to camp and wanting to take a cell phone. I mean, of all the times when you would want to whip it out when you're in the middle of learning how to flip mm-hmm. a canoe and get it back over, you don't want that cell phone there. Just leave it alone.
No.
All right. Give us Camp Wildwood some history, some...
Sure, Roger.
Just take it off, Dan.
Well, first off, thank you for inviting us and hosting us, and we are indebted to this platform, and I'm just thankful for this. And, of course, you'll notice when we talk, and I'm talking about myself and Rebecca and Cody, that the passion of Camp Wild will come across the airways. And we're just really passionate about camp and a little bit about the history of camp. Camp Wild was established back in 1954. What happened was, it's kind of an interesting story, is that the Garden Club of South Carolina, one of our biggest sponsors to this day, they figured out that there was a problem going on with the youth of South Carolina, that they weren't getting tuned into our natural resources. And they had the insight all the way back in the 1950s that there was a problem. They were getting more involved with going to the movie theater than getting out and about like they should. So they decided to come up with some sort of program. And then they partnered with the Department of Natural Resources. Back then it was called the Wildlife Department.
Right.
And through that partnership, they created what was called the Conservation Camp of South Carolina. First year that they had camp, it was in Sherall State Park. In 1955, that following year, they had about 75 campers. And it progressed until 1980 or so. Then there was a fire, which not at camp, but at the facility. And now we've moved to where we are today, which is Kings Mountain, and changed the name to Camp Wildwood. So that's Camp Wildwood in a nutshell. The curriculum that we have with Camp Wildwood is actually very similar, if almost exact, to what they had in the back in the 1950s, where we focus on hands-on. We're out and about, getting our feet wet, getting our hands dirty.
Absolutely.
And we're actually looking into the life of technicians and biologists with the Department of Natural Resources. So they're out looking in the streams, flipping rocks. They're learning how to shoot skeet. They're catching fish. They're doing all these fun activities. And while they're doing this, they're learning more about each other and learning about leadership and stewardship and conservation skills that they all need, we all need.
And learning about themselves, too.
Absolutely.
For a lot of these kids who, unlike a lot of us, are raised in the outdoors, going and shooting a shotgun or playing in a creek or catching a fish is not something they get to do on their own time when they want to. This is a really special thing. And if they're not exposed to it, they're probably a little apprehensive. But boy, I tell you, once you get into it, it's just fun. That kid comes out in every one of them, I'm sure.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I don't have the privilege that these two beside me, Rebecca and Cody, has of getting to know these campers better than I do. I'm just the glorified going to the grocery store. That's what I always say. Coordinating is not all the fun, but I do get to know them better in the following subsequent programs that we have, and we'll talk about that in a little bit.
Sure.
But we just have a grand old time. We have about 100 campers and 50-50 boys to girls, and they all enjoy the five classes over the course of the day. One neat thing is that to be able to hunt in South Carolina, you have to be certified.
And an education card.
Exactly.
Yes.
And you will earn that at Camp Wildwood if you've never gone fishing. You will go fishing, and we try, knock on wood, that you will catch a fish while you're at Camp Wildwood. We try to do the natural resources bucket list while you're there.
Right.
You shoot a shotgun. You will pretend you trap a bear. All these things we wrap up in that 1 week, those 5 days.
Yeah, I visited last year, and one of the things I thought was really interesting, I would not have associated with camp. I mean, you had your naturalist course where you were down in the woods looking at leaves and all. You had your canoeing class. The kids were turning rocks over in the creek and all. They had they were actually casting tracks into. Mm-hmm. It left me. Help me out. They were casting in
Plaster of Paris.
Plaster of Paris. That's mm-hmm. right. And had all the different, coyote, bobcat, deer tracks and all, and even some of the smaller raccoons and all mm-hmm. that. And those things, you'd be amazed when you learn those things as a kid, you don't forget those.
Yeah.
Those experiences and those things, you just tend to soak them up a little more than we as adults would soak them up. So later on in life, I'm sure if you see a coyote print, hey, I saw that. I did that at Camp Wildwood.
Yeah, and something they take home, too, with them.
Yeah.
They learn about scent stations. It's more than just making a Plaster Paris cast.
Right.
They can, you put out a can of sardines, and then you prepare the area, and then you go back the next night and see what actually has. One interesting story real quick is that we, before today, a long time ago, we actually had deer feet that were kind of, tanned and
semi-preserved.
Exactly. And we would go out and we would push them down, and now they have these little things that they just pour in there.
Right.
Real easy. But we went around with a black bear footprint, and started putting it around. Wow. And we didn't tell them we had one. So they thought that there was a black bear that was roaming the woods. And, you know, of course, we played it up as being counselors. But that's just one of the many stories. But, yes, we do plaster Paris cast up there. And it's one of those, just one of the many activities that do that they just enjoy.
And the other thing that was really cool, I was there at lunchtime. And the lineup to go into lunch was just hilarious. Would you have a little skit going on the and I'm sure Rebecca will go into this. I sat there and watched the kids, and I mean the counselors were getting into it, the kids waiting to go to eat were getting into it, and it was funny. I could sit there, and as the kids in line, you could pick out, that's the class clown right there. He's the class clown wherever he goes. There's the little shy person who by the end of the week is just going to be a chatterbox. It's amazing how in kids you can pick out those personalities, and that was really evident just in the lunch line. Yeah. And then lunch was really, really good, by the way.
Yeah, I think Rebecca, one of the many great things that she does is that she has all kinds of activities, and I'm sure really quick you can tell us about the cheese noodle one.
Oh, yes. So we have a lot of different games to get them into the lunch line and breakfast and supper line. And so what you do is you put a shower cap on your head and you put shaving cream all over the shower cap. And then each person in the group has to try to get a cheese doodle all into the shaving cream from a far distance. And so, wow. Yeah, we're timed and everybody's screaming as loud as they can. And by the end, we see who had the most, and whoever had the most gets to go in first for meal.
Now, those kids clean up after lunch, too.
Oh, absolutely.
What a lesson. Mm-hmm. Clean up after yourself.
Yeah, some of them have never washed dishes before. So.
If they will at camp.
They yes. definitely will at camp.
Okay. Well, there's the first little bit. We're going to get a break. We come back. We're going to get in with Rebecca in the first year of camp. We're going to talk about second year, and then Cody's going to give us the third year rundown. So bear with us. Be back on the other side. This studio is a noisy place today. it's like something a kid at Thanksgiving dinner where there's about four conversations going on. But it's just fun. I appreciate y'all being here. And Dan, absolutely. thanks for being here again. And look, you have anytime you've got something going on, all you got to do is give me a call.
I know you'll be there for
Department
us.
Department of Natural Resources sponsors this program, and I'm going to do as much as I can to get their mission and all their events out there so people can figure out what they're doing. The Department of Natural Resources is not just what you'd call Mr. Green Jeans coming to catch you doing something wrong.
Absolutely.
That is such a small part of it. It's an important part. I mean, if there's no enforcement, then everybody's just like, you know, everything's to the wind. Mm-hmm. But so you've got to have that enforcement. But that is not the face of the Department of Natural Resources. That is a function they've got. And actually, those game wardens are the nicest guys. I mean, I grew up hunting with one of them, so mm-hmm. I know. And that personality doesn't change. But anyway, anytime you've got it, you're ready to go, you just give me a call.
All right.
All right, Rebecca, this is your time to shine. This is year one. This is 100 kids who, what I understand, some of them have never been to camp before.
Well, it's really special thinking about all my memories from camp and looking back. I've been at camp now for about 11 years, and it's neat to see and look back when I was 15 and going for the first time. I'd, you know, heard a lot about camp. I knew it was outdoors and that kind of thing, but it was just looking back, it was way beyond my expectations of what I could have ever thought.
Now, were you an outdoors girl before you went to camp first year?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I've grown up hunting and fishing.
Okay.
And so it was definitely a big part of my life.
Right.
And so I was excited about that part of it. When I got there, you know, it was just full steam ahead, and it was so much fun. Barely got any sleep,
right.
And didn't matter at all. I was just love it every minute, and you know, it was a lot of stuff you can learn in the classroom, in biology class, you know, about fish and trees and whatever, but to have that hands-on experience is completely different, and I learned so much just about forestry, and our class is about forestry, and our fisheries class and our wildlife class, we had the Hunter's Ed, which
right.
is so helpful, and we had archery and just a lot of things that I love to do, just outdoors things. But the really special part about camp was that I was really shy, 15-year-old, and I was really scared. Didn't know, you know, I was going to meet all these new people, and I was a little nervous about it and didn't want to, you know, come out of my shell. And Camp Wildwood really did that for me, and I still am able to look back on that as a time in my life when that really happened for me, and I'm still able to use what I learned at camp still today. So you learn so much about yourself, and you learn about, you know, what you're good at, and how to be a leader, how to serve others and help others. You also get to have fun while you're doing it. So you're dancing. We have dances every night,
right?
Which is just so fun.
What kind of dances do we have at Camp
Wildwood? My goodness, you name it, we got it. We have
disco night, swing night. What do we have?
Yep. We have square dancing and line dances and shagging, and we have some teachers to do that. A class that we teach that. And
wow.
So. You know, if you're shy or anything, it's definitely fine because you get to learn it together.
Okay.
We also play a lot of sports. There's competition between different groups. Everybody's put in different niches, is what we call them.
Okay.
Different groups for the week. And so you compete all week. And then we have a big prize at the end. So it's really fun to see what everybody is good at. And so we play volleyball. We have kickball and all kind of stuff like that. So in basketball, what else?
Volleyball.
Yes, that's
quarterball.
We
make up some of our own games.
Yeah, we our own touch on a few things.
Did I see last year? Did y'all have one of those? It's set up like the big square with the smaller square.
Yes.
What is that called?
The nine square.
Nine square. Yes. I thought I saw that set up last year while I was there.
Yes, that's a fun game as well. Yeah, that was a good time. So I went through all the way a second year program and third year program, and second year was probably one of my favorites. I just loved getting a whitewater raft.
Okay.
And we went to the fish hatchery up in Walhalla. We did a lot of team building, and did some rappelling, and third year we go to the beach, and we got to go to the aquarium and see some sea turtles on the beach, and so it was just really neat to be in nature and really embracing it all. So,
and you went through those 3 years, and the fourth year, were you feeling kind of lost not being able to go back?
So the fourth year, you go back to camp. So I got to go back to the first year camp. Yeah, so I was a counselor there that first year. So I got to see, my same story just replayed over and over in other campers, being a counselor, and see their eyes light up whenever they were learning things, asking questions in classes, and see them become a team. And so I was a counselor to about I guess each group has about 20 kids. And so it was amazing to see them, you know, come from all different parts of South Carolina.
Okay.
Low country, up country, Midlands.
All different walks of life, probably.
Yes, all different walks of life. And then at the end of the week, they become one team. And what's amazing is that group usually remains friends past camp. Some of my dearest, best friends are from camp. And it really...
Still today.
Yes, still today. And it's just a really special bond that you share. I'm just going through that together, you know.
Right.
So,
now you're head girls counselor.
Yes, head girls counselor. We also have a head boys counselor.
So what do you do as head girls counselor?
I help the counselors, I guess, and help them with whatever they need as well. Right. But let's see. A lot of my job is I visit around at different classes and make sure I get to know everybody at camp. I try to and just talk to people and sit with different people at lunch, and also, like we talked about at the meals, we try to get everybody rowdy and excited and organize games for them, and we also have a clean cabin. We check cabins, so head boys and head girls check cabins, make sure they're
every
clean
day.
Yes, every day.
Wow.
And so we always have fun things. I think one year somebody had made me a little swing out of sticks to try to get...
Yes, they bribe a lot.
Yes.
I saw that happen last year. Yeah, mm-hmm. Bribing the cabin counselor.
It works.
It works.
Yeah.
Good.
So,
I never tried to bribe my counselors.
He just went ahead and took Latrine.
Just took the dirty jobs and just went with it because I was going to get them anyway.
Yeah. So it's really neat to I get to be a part of every group and every niche. I get to know them very individually, and just see the counselors and how they work with the kids, and it's just amazing to see the team that is built through that. Same.
How many years are you going to do this?
That's a good question. I would love to say forever, because it is absolutely the best. It was the best week of my life when I was 15, and it still is. Every year is my favorite week.
That's amazing.
So I don't know how long, but I would love to do it forever. But it's a special place for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I love that you brought out that some of your friends today were some of the friends you made that first year. Mm-hmm. And that's something important, parents. You know, yes, at 15, maybe your kids never went away from home for a week. You've certainly never dropped them off and left them with somebody you didn't know. I can reassure you they are in great hands. I've known Dan for several years. I've been to that camp. It is well organized, well supervised. You have a nurse on site. I know when I was there, they were working on a scraped up knee for somebody.
We have several nurses, some of our counselors who are in school, some of them are nurses. Okay. So it's just we take good care of them.
And you're not they're not going to call home sobbing and crying. They're going to call their camp their counselors to do that for you. But it will be a growing experience for them. I can promise you. Just like you've heard here, I have no doubt that will happen. No matter how much you doubt your child can do it, they can do it.
Absolutely.
Because it's not like they've got time to think about, I'm not at home, I don't have this, I don't have that. They are busy all the time. And when they go to bed at night, they're ready to go to bed at night.
Yes.
Agreed?
Yes.
We don't have to worry about them sneaking out and doing anything because they're exhausted. Yeah. And that's part of our goal, is to make sure that we do keep them busy from sun up to sundown, and we have everything lined up for them, ready to go.
And I know the gun safety course is taught by a DNR officer. The forestry segment was, I believe, taught by a gentleman from Clemson in their forestry department.
Mm-hmm.
The lady that was teaching the canoeing class out on the lake, she actually runs Edisto River Charters, who was that lady?
That's Mary Crockett.
Crockett.
And actually, Mary Crockett retired a couple of years ago from the DNR.
DNR.
But she was in charge of all the scenic rivers in South Carolina. And so she has, her whole career has been canoeing, and she's certified. And so she's done well for us. And she comes back every year. That's really an interesting point. Was that we've had several people retire from the DNR, and they continue to come back. We've had instructors that have been there for 35, 40 years.
Yeah. So, see, Rebecca, you can probably do it for the rest of your life.
Come on, I need her.
She
told you a tenth of what she really does up there, and the rest
imagine.
Of it's boring, but I have to have her and all that she does.
Well, there's the music. We're going to take a break, final break of the show. We're going to come back. Cody's going to tell us all about third year, which is down at the coast, which if you're like me and you have a little salt water running through your veins, this is the part that really gets you for the third year. So stay tuned. We'll be back on the other side, finish up the show. Music today, Dave. Thank you very much. Appreciate this. Keeping us alive in here. Well, let's go to sleep. Welcome back to the last segment of Woods and Water. We've got a group from the South Carolina Department of Natural Resources, Camp Wildwood. We've got Dan Dupree here. We've got Rebecca. And we got Cody. We covered the first year. Second, third years are set up a little differently. The first year, you can pretty much, if you're one of the first 100 to pay your money, you can get in. The second or third year, a little bit different. Cody, why don't you tell us what goes on second, third year?
All right. For second year, Roger, a hand-picked group of the first-year campers are selected. A select group of the first-year campers are selected from the counselors, and they come back and do whitewater rafting, rappelling. They spend a lot of time in the upstate.
Okay.
And then that group is eventually narrowed down for the third-year program.
So how many kids are in the second-year program then?
The second-year program has 20 kids.
Okay.
And the third year has around 16.
Okay. All
right. And the third-year program, which I'm a counselor at, is based in the coastal region of South Carolina.
Ah, the smell of pluff mud.
Oh, yes. The Donnelly WMA down in the Lowcountry is actually our home base.
All right.
And the kids, they'll travel from there to Charleston and throughout the Lowcountry of South Carolina. They'll canoe and do other things that involve the maritime part of our state. But during that time, the kids, they hone their leadership skills and they hone their relationships. And they do a wide variety of things, which the counselors kind of step back from and just watch and see how their leadership potentials are developed.
And what you're trying to do in this inviting back the 20 and the 16, is you're actually trying to focus on those people who will leave high school, go into college with the intent of having a career in outdoor conservation, wildlife conservation. That's what y'all are after in the second, third year, correct?
That's correct. And also, that is how we end up picking people to come back as counselors.
Ah.
That is the that's how we find the people that, that can fill our shoes whenever we decide to move on to bigger and better things.
Gotcha. Gotcha. Third year, you kind of step back and let them be themselves. What are some of the other things they do? You get them out in the pluff mud?
We take them out with a lot of biologists.
Okay.
DNR, a lot of the biologists come in. Alligators, they get to spotlight alligators and do sampling. We actually have DNR biologists that come in and talk about bald eagles.
Okay.
We go to Botany Bay.
Right.
To the and count sea turtles and dig up sea turtle nests with biologists and help them record data. They go to the Sea Turtle Hospital in Charleston underneath the aquarium, and they spend time there and learn about the things that they do to help the sea turtles recover so they can be rehabilitated to be released back into the wild. They do a little bit of fishing and some canoeing.
Okay.
And they canoe.
All canoeing's with the current too, right?
Sometimes. They canoe the Edisto River.
Okay.
That's a full day on the river, and they have a blast doing that. And we give them this past year we gave them another opportunity to canoe, and they actually planned their own canoe trip. So they actually put together a route and the times they needed to be there, where they were going to stop for lunch. And unfortunately, the tide got the best of them.
And what's interesting, and Cody might not say this, but, you know, we're dealing with teenagers here.
Right, right.
And so you're talking about seniors in high school. And one thing that they hold precious is their sleep. And we gave them the talk before is that when we're down the Edisto, you don't have to worry about the current. But
right.
Where we were, we had to worry about the current.
Sure.
And it depended on when they had to get up.
Right.
The earlier they got up, the more the current was with it. Well, they decided they were just going to take an easy morning and, you know, sleep in a little bit. And they learned a life lesson.
They're a much wiser bunch of kids today, aren't
so
they?
So we always talk about life lessons, but that was definitely one of them.
And I understand, Cody, it's a good thing you had a boat with a motor because you ended up towing 12 kayaks back in.
I towed several, but we actually had two young men who decided that they were going to tough it out. And they braved it, and through a lot of heartache, they made it. And they made it to where our takeout point was, and they couldn't lift their arms whenever they got there, but they enjoyed the challenge that it took to make it where they were going.
And they accomplished something.
They sure did. Yeah. And,
but the rest of us towed behind.
The rest of us.
Absolutely.
Absolutely.
I'm not going to fall to their life choices. I'm going to have a boat with a motor on it.
And you've been there and done that too, haven't you, Dan?
Absolutely.
Yeah. And once you've done it, there's nothing left to prove, right?
Exactly.
That's right. But the kids, they have a lot of time to bond with each other at the third-year program. The counselors bond with them, so they kind of have somebody to look up to. We take them spotlighting at the Donnelly WMA, where they do deer counts and animal counts that at night.
Okay.
And it's kind of amazing because they think that kind of once everything dies down and it becomes nighttime, they don't understand that the woods come alive.
Oh, they're probably more alive sometimes at night than they are in the daytime.
That's correct. And they just, it kind of opens eyes and it makes them think about what happens. And I know it helps them develop themselves, and we take them out and let them look at the stars. And down on the coast, it's just a beautiful evening, and it can make you in awe of nature down there. So.
It's an amazing thing. growing up in Chester County where there's no street lights, you know, there's no safety lights in the country there, one of our favorite times together as a family was going outside, sitting in the old webbed lawn chairs, covered up with grandmother's quilts, watching the stars, shooting stars. My dad knew when the meteor showers were coming over, and you could see them. You really didn't have to have a meteor shower to sit out and watch the stars. But it's something we that live in cities and towns with lots of light interference, you just don't realize until you get to a place where there's no lights, how the stars come down to the waterline. You know, there's the horizon because that's where the stars end. So,
but the kids, they enjoy that, and the trips they make, they have a lot of bonding time in the vehicles that we travel in. They get to have a wide variety of music they listen to and get to entertain each other. And
everybody gets a turn.
Sometimes. It's usually the driver has control, which is Dan, the DJ. And so it's they bond with each other, and it's an overall fun experience down on the coast. And I can remember my years being down there, and it's always a blast. So the third year, it sticks with you.
I think my third year, we got to actually eat some of the alligator. We got to try some after we had caught some.
Tastes like chicken.
It wasn't the same gator that we caught, though.
It wasn't.
No, it wasn't.
Yeah, we just filleted him right there on the beach. Wow. Well, Rebecca, thank you. Cody, thank you. Dan, you got a few minutes? You want to say some more things about Camp Wildwood?
Go ahead and plug. You know, we've had a nice, wonderful commercial for the last 40 minutes, and let me go ahead and give you some information about Camp Wildwood. It's open for teenagers that are going into the 10th, 11th, and 12th grade. We like for them to have that first year of high school underneath their belt, and deals a lot with maturity and not being, you know, scared of going into a cabin that has a 7 or 18-year-old in it. But anyways, it's open to first come, first serve, and you do have to do a teacher referral. And right now we've got about 65 slots already filled, so we're getting up there. So if you are interested in Camp Wildwood to learn more about the program, you can go to our website, which is campwildwoodsc.com. Make sure you put that sc.com because there's another Camp Wildwood up in, I think it's Maine, and they are 6 weeks is about $10,000. And we are only $200 for the entire week, and that's because we have some wonderful sponsors that subsidize our campers. Also, you can reach me by my email, which is wildwood, W-I-L-D-W-O-O-D, at gmail.com. So it's our name at gmail.com. And also, our phone number is 803-720-9299. But the best place to go is our website. There's a wonderful video of this past year. It'll give you a little insight in what we do and all the fun that we have. And I think the best little closing comments that I have is our motto, and that we always say that Camp Wildwood, it's more than a camp, it's more than friendship, it's family. And so when we get up there, they think they're going to a camp. Next couple of days they make a friend, and then after the week they consider each other family. And there's a lot of wet eyes. Everybody's crying when they leave there. And it's not because and I guess they're sad to go. They don't sure. want to, they miss their family. So anywho, that's Camp Wildwood in a nutshell. You are in good hands. We have our counselors have all gone through the program. I went through it in 1989, been involved ever since. And we have our ratio to counselors to campers is 2-1. We have about 40 counselors, 25 staff, professional staff up there. We have a wonderful director. He does a great job with name's Brad Taylor. Outdoors.
I know that, Brad. Yes.
So, if you are interested in it, think that you might, even if you don't like going in the outdoors, this is still the best camp that you can go to, and I guarantee you will change your mind about natural resources and having fun.
And if you're in that 10th grade, 11th or 12th grade, go there now. If you're younger than that and you're going to the Palmetto Sportsman's Classic this year, stop by the Camp Wildwood booth, meet Dan. He'll give you a comfort level with your kids going to that camp, I am sure. Talk to him a little more. Gin up some excitement for the next year till camp comes around next year. And your kids will love it. And the testimony to Camp Wildwood is you've got an 11-year veteran here, and Cody was, what, 7 years? That's the testament to Camp Wildwood.
25 right here.
25 to
26.
So anyway, well, I appreciate y'all being here. Let me get to the little closing things here.
Sure.
like I said, if anything they've talked about sounds like a kid you know, this is the place for them. The Palmetto Sportsman's Classic, don't forget it. It's March 27th through the 29th, South Carolina State Fairgrounds in Columbia. Captain Wild Bill Rakroski from the Discovery Channel's show Deadliest Catch will be there Saturday and Sunday. And if the crab season ends on time, he can get the fishing vessel Cape Caution from Dutch Harbor to Homer, Alaska, and catch a flight to Seattle, Washington. You will hear him right here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. Yes, I get to interview Camp Wild Bill. And I thought maybe you'd like to be a part of the conversation. So when everything is set up and ready, I'll let you know on the Facebook page, website, the 94.5 website and Facebook page. And I'd like for you to send me a question maybe you'd like to hear Captain Wild Bill talk about here on Woods and Water, South Carolina. So mark those days on your calendar. Drive down to the State Fairgrounds in Columbia. See all the vendors. Eat some tasty food. Stop by and see Dan at Camp Wildwood. And you can also stop by and see Woods and Water, South Carolina, along with Outdoor Underwriters. We'll be in the booth in the Moore Building. Stop by and say hello. And don't forget, Saturday and Sunday, Camp Wild Bill. I keep saying camp. Captain Wild Bill will be there. Appreciate all y'all being here. There's James in the background, so that's all for this week. Hey, find a partner for the Palmetto Trail Challenge and get outside this spring. Go prepared. Be careful when you're out there. Take the back roads when you can. And don't forget the camera. I'll talk to you next week. I'm from Carolina.